We welcome to the program J. Allen Carnes. He is the mayor of Uvalde. He is a third-generation farmer and businessman, and family's farmed and ranched. He's big into vegetable business. Also, they've grown cotton and a lot of other things in South Texas. He is an agriculture commissioner candidate, or trying to get the Republican nomination for ag commissioner. Mr. Carnes, welcome back to Pratt on Texas. How's the campaign going?
Good afternoon, Robert. Going great. Let me say before we get started today, your line on your intro of considering people from Arkansas and Oklahoma Yankees, that's great. I love that. That's perfect for being from Texas.
It's really true, and people who, well, Oklahoma would be different, but some states that were actually southern states. There was a really good piece written one time by a guy who went to UT, and he was from Virginia, and people kept calling him a Yankee. And, you know, obviously that's one of the most ridiculous things in the world. But it's true. And I don't mean it to call them that. I just mean people in Texas. It's just pretty much if you ain't from Texas, you're considered a Yankee.
Well, you're exactly right. Yeah, my family was actually from Alabama way back, and pretty close to the Mason-Dixon line. And, yeah, I heard all these stories from my grandmother. But, yeah, the capital of the Confederacy was in Virginia. So, yeah, that's interesting.
It's a cultural thing. J. Allen Carnes,
you're exactly right.
You're running for ag. There you go. A lot better connection there. You're running for ag commissioner, and you're out on the campaign trail. This is your first shot. You're not a member of the legislature. You hadn't run for statewide office before. So I want to get into a couple of issues that are very important to this agriculture-dominated part of Texas, as we cover pretty much all of northwestern Texas here on Pratt on Texas. But first, I'd like you to, for the members of the audience who haven't heard from you, to let them know a little bit about yourself and so they can get acquainted with you.
Well, a novel idea. I'm an ag guy running for ag commissioner. You know, I'm a business owner, and a farmer down in South Texas. We own a vegetable shipping operation. My dad and I farm a pretty large amount of acreage, and then I own majority interest in the cotton gin down here that started by my grandfather. But I got involved because I got frustrated with what a lot of our leaders were doing, and a lot of the knowledge, lack of knowledge base that they have on the ag community. And so, that's why I'm here today and why I'm talking to you and why I'm traveling the state, because I think that the Texans are ready for leaders that are well-versed in what they're talking about and not just your typical career politician.
Let me ask you a question about the press release you put out today. You had a press release out saying that you're going to work to promote Texas-grown products, work with consumers and producers alike. And in that, you mentioned a program that I was actually pretty heavily involved in back when it spun up pretty big, and that was the Texas Department of Agriculture's Go Texan program. And I've noticed under Susan Combs, that program was extraordinarily active in getting the brand out there and just active all over the state. And one of my clients was someone that used some of the matching marketing money and all that stuff. And I've noticed under the current ag commissioner, like a lot of other things that I've claimed he's just been AWOL on ag, there really hasn't, it's just kind of run as a little department, but there's not been a lot out there. You seem to be noticing the same thing. What are you suggesting?
Well, you're talking my language. Growing up, one of our organizations, our vegetable shipping operation, I've been very involved in not only marketing of Texan products. My family, we're domestic producers, and only ever dealt in Texas products, but also working with the Go Texan program. And, I would venture to say that my company was probably one of the early signatories or representatives of the Go Texan type program. And, I love that program. And I think that program has fallen on some hard times. And, we've had some budgetary issues in Texas, and a lot of that very needed. But I think there's ways to invigorate that program. There's certain public-private partnerships that we can enter in on, using, what's left out there of some public money, but infusing it with private money to promote goods grown right here in the Lone Star State. One opportunity we do have as we grow, and as, they say Texas is going to have 86-87% more people by the year 2060, that's a lot of mouths to feed. And so the market in Texas for selling Texas goods is going to be enormous. So we have to take advantage of opportunities that come our way to allow us to promote that. And I think the Go Texan program is a perfect and a prime example of that. It just needs a little tender love and care at this point, I think.
What do we do through the Department of Agriculture, though, to actually become more than a political stepping stone office and actually focus that department? It now has that old Office of Rural Resources in it as well. But what do we do to actually get the Department of Agriculture back to being a heavy hitter on behalf of Texas farmers and ranchers, where that's the main person you would see and hear from every time? The EPA's in town trying to run over us. The government's trying to do things to water rights and other issues. What do we need in a commissioner, and what would you bring to the table?
Well, you know, some energy needs to be focused on the onset with programs that are already in the department, like the Go Texan program, of just some refocusing of needs and what agricultural Texas needs and what rural Texas needs. Yeah, you mentioned that it does have rural affairs now, and, you know, I've said over and over, it's kind of becoming the de facto mayor of rural Texas. But it starts there, but I think it goes far beyond that. I think we have to have a very healthy conversation in this state moving forward about how it relates to all Texans. And, you know, the things that people in downtown Houston and downtown Dallas and our urban partners, that they resonate with is when you talk about food safety and when you talk about food affordability and food sustainability and, you know, things like that, things, nutrition, stuff like that they can relate to. That's where you get them involved on this race, where it's seen much more than just that political stepping stone.
Very good. We're up against the break. We'll talk about it more when we come back. We'll try to get your phone connection fixed as well. We're having a little trouble hearing you there. We'll be back in a moment with J. Allen Carnes, candidate for Ag Commissioner in the state of Texas, right here on Pride on Texas. We're visiting with J. Allen Carnes. It's the letter J. That's his website, the letter J, Carnes, C-A-R-N-E-S, for Texas.com. J. Allen Carnes is candidate for the Republican nomination for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. And Mr. Carnes, probably the single most important issue dealing with agriculture in the state of Texas that the state has primary control over is the issue of water. Primarily underground water rights and the rule of capture. The surface water in the state follows the socialist model and kind of belongs to everybody, and so you have water allotments like you see the LCRA, Lower Colorado River Authority, talking about denying rice farmers downstream water again for the third year in a row. That's one set of historical experience and law, but there's another set, and that involves underground water. In Texas, that came with land patents. That's always been considered to be part of the private property right of the landowner. The Supreme Court has recently in the state reaffirmed that, but there is a tremendous push to essentially assert that there's some kind of public interest in people's private property. I want to know where you stand on the water for groundwater and irrigation. Does it belong to the farmer? Is it his property? And if it is, if it's not, if the government can have something to do with it, then, you know, where's the threshold? When does it become a taking when a water district tells you that you can only pump so much of your own water?
You know, I am a strong advocate for the rule of capture and private property rights. I mean, you know, that's how my father and his father before that had built our business. So that being said, you know, we've got real challenges in the state overcoming some of our water issues. You know, when you look at a person in downtown Houston or downtown Dallas and you talk about the rule of capture and a vested property right in your groundwater, you know, a lot of times that doesn't resonate with them. I think as Texans, we need to start talking about what we're doing with that water and how we're producing and how we're becoming a positive output for the state. Because, you know, right now, yeah, there is a huge gap between surface water and groundwater. And you've seen the problems that surface water has seen here recently with the LCRA and the rice farmers. And we eventually are going to have to deal with that on groundwater if we don't fight hard and make a great case for why this water needs to remain with the landowner. You know, we have huge challenges in Texas, but I think it can be overcome. We just have to have smart people in office being able to explain these situations and not just say we're going to fight for it just because we're going to fight for it. We got to have people there that are talking why that vested groundwater right is a huge asset, not only to the property owner, but to Texas as a whole moving forward, and why they need to be able to make the choices of how that groundwater is used.
Well, let me see if I'm summing up what you're saying correctly, because it's an interesting way to put it. You're saying, if I'm correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, look, we already know in the media and elsewhere, it seems like a losing issue, like the Texas Tribune piece today. It makes it out to sound like nobody's going to have water to drink because of groundwater, you know, people that own it pumping so much for irrigation. And they use these massive numbers that scare people who don't realize how much water just flows out into the Gulf every day in our streams and rivers. Scares people to death about how much water, and they it's a scare tactic. And what you're arguing is that it is indeed a property right, but we're going to have to play a PR game, and we've been on the sidelines on that so far. We need to tell people what the advantage is to that rule of capture existing in Texas. I think in my area, that's a reasonable point because, you know, everybody says, well, there won't be any water if these people keep pumping it. Well, hell, if you don't have cotton farmers out here, you're not going to have any reason to have a town here to begin with. You know, it's
exactly.
Kind of, it goes away. It'll be another ghost town with some old things that look like they were once cotton gins, which we see across East Texas and Central Texas.
And as important as that, you're going to be importing cotton and importing goods into this state that we produced a long time ago, you know, that we have this history of producing. We'll be importing that instead of exporting a lot of it. So, yeah, I think, you know, as an ag producer, you know, it's important to me, instead of just saying I need this groundwater right to pump as much as I can, you know, going out and saying, you know how many people I'm feeding off of this field of cabbage or something that we've produced
right
down here, and relating it to, like, to those measures, because just relating it to the vested groundwater right and the rule of capture, people in downtown San Antonio don't understand that. They don't get that, and that's a battle that I'm afraid we're going to lose one day.
Well, that's a very good way to put it. The website, ladies and gentlemen, for J. Allen Carnes is just that, J. And then it's the letter J, and then Carnes, C-A-R-N-E-S, four, Texas.com. You can learn more about him there. Best of luck out on the campaign trail.
I appreciate it, Robert. We look forward to talking to you again.
All right, my friends. I want to bring Mr. Carnes to you several times because by the Constitution, you have to be actively engaged in ranching or farming within so many years of filing to run. It's the only statewide office that has constitutional it has a threshold to meet. You actually have to be engaged in it. But Carnes keeps making the point, and he's right, that most of the people that run for it really aren't full-time engaged in agriculture. He's one of the only guys we've had in a while who really is, and I think he's fairly impressive. I haven't taken my decision on the race, but I certainly want you to hear from him. We'll be back in a moment on Pride on Texas.
I said smoke them if you got them, 'cause you can't do it here no more.